Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really zeroing in on what we believe is the single most valuable asset in, well, any high stakes field,
Yeah,
your brain.
exactly.
We are not talking about working harder or longer. We're talking about cognitive optimization for peak performance, especially when you're facing that just overwhelming information load in DeFi research or, you know, any complex decision making.
That's absolutely right. The core idea here, and we really can't overstate this, is that the elite advantage isn't about having more data.
Right.
It's about having superior access to your own cognitive power in those critical moments. The whole mission here is to give you a shortcut to that, to make sure that when you set aside, you know, those two or three precious hours for deep work, you are operating at peak energy, peak clarity.
So we're basically looking for the blueprint. The blueprint to ensure that the version of you making the big call is the absolute best version.
Yep. And that starts with understanding the neuroscience,
yeah,
just a little bit.
So what are the key mental states we cycle through when we're trying to do this kind of complex work?
Okay, so you can visualize this. Think of it like a simple traffic light.
Mm.
When you're analyzing the market or a new protocol, your brain is almost always in one of three modes. And most people spend 80% of their time in the first two.
But the elite performers, they push into that third one.
They live in the third one.
Okay, so let's start with the one we desperately want to avoid, the red light.
That's the stress or survival mode. The red light. This is your ancient primal brain just taking over.
The lizard brain.
The lizard brain, exactly. When the market moves against you violently, or you just perceive a high threat, the prefrontal cortex, the part you need for logic and long-term thinking, it basically just goes offline.
And what happens then?
You get a flood of cortisol. Mm. Your behavior becomes purely emotional, reactive, and usually highly regrettable.
The classic panic cell. Where, you know, logically you shouldn't do it, but your fingers are just moving faster than your brain.
That's it. You're reacting to a survival threat, not analyzing a probabilistic outcome. Then you've got the yellow light. This is the default or comfortable mode. It's yeah. functional, but it's autopilot.
You're just kind of going through the motions.
Yeah, you're skimming news, doing routine checks, you feel comfortable. But the problem is there's no deep engagement. This state is just a breeding ground for confirmation bias, for mental shortcuts, and it leads to really mediocre, inconsistent results.
It's the enemy of competitive advantage.
Totally. Which brings us to the green light, our destination.
The flow state.
The flow or peak performance mode. This is the holy grail. It's that feeling of optimal focus. Creativity just flows. You see patterns you didn't see before.
And time just kind of disappears.
Time distorts, yeah.
Yeah.
You produce your absolute highest quality work.
Yeah.
So our goal for anyone taking this seriously is, well, it's stark. Maximize time and flow, maybe 70% plus of your critical hours, and get stress mode down below 10%.
Okay, that's a clear goal. So if flow is the destination, we have to know where we're starting. We need a hard, honest look in the mirror.
You do. We call it the cognitive performance audit, because you can't optimize what you don't measure.
So what does that look like?
It's two things. First, you just track your brain states. Carry a small notepad, use an app, whatever, and just note, when did you feel that red light kick in? And what was the trigger?
Oh, the trigger is key.
The trigger is everything. And on the flip side, when did you find yourself in flow? What were you doing? We need to know what to avoid, but also what to replicate.
And the second part of the audit.
The second prong is about finding your biological prime time, your golden hours. So for 2 weeks, you rate your cognitive clarity and energy on a 1 to 10 scale 4 times a day.
Like when you wake up mid-morning?
Yeah, say 6 a.m., 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 6 p.m., whatever works for you.
Yeah.
This data will show you, clear as day, the 2 or 3 hours where your brain consistently hits a 9 or a 10.
And that's your primary peak performance window.
That's it. And that window, that becomes sacred. Mm. It has to be reserved for your highest leverage work. But just as important as finding that peak, you have to identify and just ruthlessly eliminate the things that are dragging you down. The performance killers.
Okay, give us the hit list, and not just what they are, but why they kill performance.
Number one. The constant reactive checking. Charts, portfolio balance every 15 minutes.
That's a big one for a lot of people.
It's a massive killer. It doesn't just waste time. It fragments your attention. Every time you check, it's an intermittent variable reward. It's a dopamine loop.
It's a slot machine in your pocket.
It is. You're literally training your brain for distraction. You are, in essence, self-administering ADHD. You're building a neurological tolerance for instant gratification, which is the exact opposite of what you need for long-term research.
Okay, what else?
Poor sleep. I mean, anything under 7 consistent hours physically starves your prefrontal cortex of recovery time.
Yeah.
It just can't function properly. Then you have information overload from social media, which just creates analysis paralysis. And finally, multitasking. It's an illusion. Your brain can't do two complex things at once. It just switches back and forth really fast, and every switch costs you energy.
So find your top 3 killers from that list and just get rid of them.
Treat them like toxic assets. Liquidate them.
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting for me. We know the destination is flow. We know the obstacles are these killers. How do we actually, intentionally trigger that flow state?
We need a system, the flow state creation system, and it's built on 4 key triggers.
Let's hear them.
Trigger 1, clear goals. And I mean crystal clear. People mistake a vague intention for a clear goal.
So I'm going to research some DXs this afternoon. It is not a clear goal.
Not at all. That's vague. Your brain will wander. It'll look for the easiest path. No flow. A flow goal sounds like. Evaluate the tokenomics and security audits of protocol A and B using my 8-point risk metric and synthesize a comparative thesis by 11:30 a.m.
Wow. Okay. That's specific.
The precision tells your brain what to exclude. And exclusion is the key to focus.
Got it. What's trigger 2?
Immediate feedback. The brain needs to feel like it's making progress. If you're just reading a white paper for 2 hours with no milestones, you lose engagement.
So you have to build in these little learning loops. What does that look like in practice?
It could be a simple checklist, to confirm you've covered all the major risk factors. Or it could be immediately scoring a protocol on a 1 to 10 scale right after you analyze a section. You need that real-time data that says, yes, what I'm doing now is moving me closer to the goal.
Okay, that makes sense. Trigger 3.
The challenge skill balance. This is the Goldilocks zone.
Not too easy, not too hard.
Exactly. Too easy, you're bored. Too hard, you get frustrated and you slip right back into that red light stress mode. You need to stretch your current abilities by maybe 10 to 15%. That little bit of mental strain demands your full concentration.
So for a beginner, that might be just dissecting the basics of a lending protocol.
Right. And for an advanced researcher, it's analyzing the solvency model of some novel synthetic asset. The point is finding a task that demands all of your attention but doesn't feel impossible.
And the final trigger, which I'm guessing holds all the others together.
It does. Deep concentration. This means you have to implement a distraction elimination protocol. And this part is not optional.
It's mandatory.
It is mandatory. The cost of one little distraction isn't the minute it takes. It's the 15 minutes it takes to get your deep focus back.
So what does that protocol look like?
Phone goes on airplane mode, preferably in another room. Close all the chat apps, email, price tickers, everything. Single tasking is the engine of peak performance.
Now that we know how to trigger flow, let's talk about structuring it. You mentioned time boxing these sessions for, 90 to 120 minutes?
Yeah, that's about the max before you hit cognitive fatigue. And within that window, you run a very specific peak performance research protocol.
A protocol, I like it.
It's a dedicated 3-phase mental effort, and it's structured to prevent your own biases from hijacking the process.
Okay, phase 1.
Phase 1 is information gathering, 30 to 40 minutes. This is purely systematic. You're reading, collecting data TVL, tokenomics, team background. But here's the critical discipline. You resist the urge to evaluate or judge.
No opinions yet.
None. You are just a neutral collector of facts.
Why is that so important? It feels so counterintuitive to read something and not immediately form an opinion on it.
Because if you start judging 30 seconds into a white paper, you've already committed cognitive resources to a thesis. You create confirmation bias. Your brain then starts filtering everything else to prove that your first, probably uninformed judgment was right.
Ah, so separating collection from analysis prevents that cognitive lock-in.
Exactly. You get the neutral facts first, then you shift gears.
To phase 2.
Phase 2 is analysis and synthesis. 40 to 50 minutes, this is the most intense part. Now you apply your framework. You compare protocol A to protocol B. You actively hunt for the risks. This is where you build the actual investment thesis with conviction levels.
And then the final sharp conclusion.
Phase 3, decision and documentation. About 20 minutes. You make the go-no-go call, you finalize position sizing based on a formula, not on emotion, and you write down your reasoning. Clearly. This trains your future self.
This whole system sounds like a beautiful machine, but it only works if the information you're putting into it is clean.
That's a huge point.
The noise in the space is just constant. So how do we apply this same discipline to what we consume? We need an information diet.
An information diet architecture. This is maybe the hardest discipline for any modern knowledge worker. You have to categorize your information into four tiers.
Okay, tier one.
Tier one is essential, daily. This is your portfolio performance check at a fixed time and critical updates for things you currently hold. That's it. Short, specific blocks of time.
Tier two?
Tier two is important. Maybe you check it two or three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the quality stuff lives.
Yeah.
Deep industry analysis, good long-form content, podcasts like this that give you macro context.
And you schedule that too, away from your peak hours.
Absolutely. Then you have tier three, which is optional, weekly, maybe less. This is your quick social media sentiment check, dipping into a community forum. You budget 5 minutes for a pulse check, but you understand this is low value, high distraction time.
And tier four, the poison.
Tier four is cognitive poison. This category has to be zeroed out. It has to be.
What's in this category?
It's the constant stream of sensationalist clickbait, get-rich-quick nonsense, FUD, FOMO, low-quality influencer hype. This stuff doesn't give you signal. It just primes your brain for anxiety and terrible decisions.
If you feel that stress rising, you're probably in tier four.
You are almost certainly consuming tier four content. Toxelate it. It's wasting cognitive capital that is far more valuable doing actual analysis.
Okay, let's shift to sustainability. Because you can't live in a flow state if you don't recover. We have to talk about stress, recovery, and decision management.
Yes. This is the performance equation. Peak performance equals productive stress plus complete recovery.
I think most people hear stress and think it's just universally bad.
But it's not. Productive stress, that strain you feel from tackling that 15% stretch challenge, that's what drives growth. The elite performers, they balance this. They aim for a stress-to-rest ratio of, say, 2-to-1 or 3-to-1.
So we schedule the hard analysis for our peak hours. That's the productive stress. What makes up the recovery side of that equation?
The non-negotiables. 7 to 9 hours of good, consistent sleep. Scheduled physical exercise movement is a huge cognitive accelerator, and maybe the hardest one in this field. Complete market disconnection.
Oof.
Setting hard cutoffs in the evening, no charts, no emails, and taking a real break over the weekend. That disconnection gives your brain the space it needs to synthesize everything subconsciously.
This all boils down to managing your cognitive load, treating your mental energy like capital. You only spend your best energy on the highest return activities.
Absolutely. High cognitive load tasks, like analyzing a totally new protocol, those must go into your peak hours. Routine stuff, like monitoring positions you already know well, that goes into your off-peak, your yellow light hours.
Never waste your 9 out of 10 energy on a 6 out of 10 task.
You got it. And that leads directly to preventing decision fatigue. Every single choice you make, from what shirt to wear to what to eat, it depletes a tiny bit of energy.
So you have to automate ruthlessly.
Yes. Automate your market check times. 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., full stop.
Okay.
Automate your position sizing with a formula. Set your stop losses before you enter and never, ever touch them based on emotion. Automate your information diet. The goal is to make these low-level things consume zero mental energy.
And what are the few big decisions that genuinely deserve that pristine peak hour energy?
Protocol selection. Developing a thesis for a whole new market segment. A big strategic pivot based on new macro data. And calculating the final position size for a brand new complex opportunity. Those are the needle movers.
And what if you have to make one of those big decisions but you feel depleted?
You need an emergency protocol.
Which is?
Stop. Immediately. Take a 15-minute mandatory break. Walk. Get some water. See the sun. If you come back and your clarity is still below a 7 out of 10, you have to defer the decision.
Even if it feels urgent.
Especially if it feels urgent. Never, ever make a major strategic choice when you're running on fumes.
Let's bring this home with a clear action plan for everyone listening. The immediate next steps seem pretty clear. Start tracking your energy.
Today. Start today. Identify those peak hours.
Implement that distraction protocol for your deep work sessions. And start structuring your information diet, especially zeroing out that tier four poison.
And remember to shift your metrics for success. It's not just about profit and loss. A successful week means you hit 3 or more flow sessions. It means you used 80% of your peak hours for high leverage work. It means you got 7+ hours of sleep most nights.
Those are the leading indicators.
Those are the indicators of a sustainable long-term performance advantage. The whole approach is about turning the focus inward. making your own performance management your primary job. And, you know, that leads to one final provocative thought. It's based on the wisdom of performance psychology. Before you start any major research session or decision-making session,
yeah,
take 30 seconds and rate your physical state, your mental state, and your emotional state, each on a 1 to 10 scale.
And if any of those three scores are below, say, a 6,
you must defer the major decision. The ultimate edge in this crazy, volatile landscape is not perfectly timing the market. It's perfectly managing your own performance state before you even engage with the market. That discipline, well, that's what separates the people who thrive long term from everyone else.